Hot. 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 Bring the heat.
And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to Speak Up Talk Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, where each week I share talk-worthy topics that seldom see the light of day. As a leader in the patient safety world, I now extend my advocacy to include what many consider to be fringe topics. Topics that affect our health, our lives, our futures, and our sanity. So enjoy the next few minutes as I entice you to join me to become the voice for informed choice. Well, today I'm going to share a segment I aired on my 11catsradio.com radio show because I am a healthcare advocate, not only for humans, but for cats and all animals. I am somewhat partial to cats because I have rescued 13 of them. I am certified to practice Reiki healing on cats, and I happen to know how to tap in and connect to them on an intimate level. This is something that has actually surprised me about myself. I have no idea why it is, but my empathy for these little innocent creatures runs deep and intense. You know, we tend to approach everything we touch with the human perspective. And I guess that's normal because, after all, we are humans. But being humans, we are also given the ability to think and reach and grow beyond that humanness and at least attempt to view situations from broader perspectives. Now, if you know me, you know I'm all about speaking up, informed choice, being unafraid to take and speak an unpopular thought, about advocating for what is right. And as a human, I can do that. But what about animals? They have no choice and they have no voice. Can you imagine that? So they rely on us as intelligent, thinking humans to advocate on their behalf. And so it is with this story, this true story I'm about to share with you about a human and an innocent cat, in hopes that it causes you to shed a little bit of your humanness for a while and feel what it might be like to be another creature. As my tagline for 11 Cats Radio says, put your cat glasses on and view the world from a cat's perspective. Please, don't get a cat. That's right. Here I am, an advocate for rescuing cats, and I'm saying please, don't get a cat. Have I gone mad? No, but I am mad. And I'm betting this segment will make some people mad. But as a cat advocate, I simply cannot stay quiet. So no harm meant, just a calling out of an injustice as I see it. Here's the story. I know of a woman, who I will call the human, who rescued, and I use the term rescue rather sarcastically, she responded to a friend who had a feral cat in her backyard. The friend trapped the cat, had it spayed, and the human took the cat to her home. Now, the human currently has 6 dogs inside her home along with a male cat. So that sounds like a person who cares for animals, right? Well, the cat that she rescued has been in a cage at the human's home for well over 2 months now. How do I know this? From time to time, I contact the friend of the human to learn of the status of this cat. You ask, why am I interested? Well, because the cat is the mother of 2 of my kittens whom I added to my crew. Once the mother cat was trapped, spayed, and went home with the human, 2 of her babies were sent to a local shelter. And when I learned that these 2 might be separated from each other, a little brother and sister, I decided to take them both, despite the fact that I have 11 cats already. And I knew that adding 2 more to the group would be a bit of a challenge as far as integrating them in a friendly manner. But it has worked out remarkably well and everybody gets along. And it's not magic that happened. There is a reason for this, and that is because I spent a considerable amount of time and slowly sight-swapped and scent-swapped, worked with screens to block the entrance to their safe space so that my current cats could see them and smell them and slowly get used to their presence. This took about 2 weeks or so of concerted effort, but I knew that it would prior to my accepting them. And this was all accomplished cage-free. Now here it is. Months later, and the poor little mother of my two kittens, who by the way is perhaps only a year old herself, has been confined to a cage with six dogs running all around her as well as another cat. And here's what really makes me scratch my head and wonder what people think about. When I asked the friend why the cat is still in the cage, the response was, because the human's house is an open floor plan and none of the rooms have doors. Now, does anyone really believe that? A home with no doors? No bedroom doors for privacy? No bathroom doors for privacy? And I asked, is there nowhere in this entire home for this cat to hang out outside of the cage until she acclimates to the new situation? Is there nowhere the human could screen off in order to allow the existing animals a way to see and smell her without caging the poor thing? Can the human put the dogs outside and the other cat with a family member for an hour or two each day to allow the mother cat to come out, to explore, to create some territory of her own, to sniff, to mingle her scent with the rest of the crew? Oh, but I was told the cage is big. A person can fit into it. And she has a cave where she hides all of the time. And I saw a sad picture of this little cat in her cave. You know, one of those compressed wood structures covered in carpet. The kind made of toxic wood pieces, toxic glue, formaldehyde carpet that off-gasses into perpetuity. And here this little girl who used to live out in the fresh air now resides, breathing in fumes, in this cocoon of toxicity. My heart weeps. Months in a cage, eating and drinking next to a litter box. So convenient for the human. But get this, if we really think like a cat and put our cat glasses on and view the world from a cat's perspective, here's the deal. Cats do not like to eat near their water, and this goes back to the fact that cats are hunters. When they catch prey, things can get a little messy, leaving nearby water contaminated. And while our indoor cats are not usually catching prey, unless there's a random mouse around, the instinct of the hunter is still strong. And I know in a normal home, most people place the cat's food and water bowl right next to each other. Convenient for the human, not right for the cat, however. So here's a tip. Even though they sell them, to avoid contamination from food, don't use a double feeder that has food on one side and water on the other. It's just too easy for food particles to drop into the water. And because of what I just mentioned about a cat's natural instinct, some cats won't drink water if it's too close to their food source. And cats are very notorious to not drink as much as they should, so it behooves us as the cat advocates to make the water and drinking situation as natural and readily available as possible. So separate your bowls and keep them clean and fresh. So not only is this mother cat, who, by the way, I don't even think has a name, how rude is that? Not only is she stuck in a toxic cage, but now she's forced to drink water in an uncomfortable and unnatural way. And living with a litter box? All I have to do is ask you this question. Would you want to live in your bathroom, eat and sleep in your bathroom, and hope that someone comes in occasionally to flush the toilet for you? I didn't think so. Cats have several litter box preferences that once again come from instinct and self-preservation, such as placing their food too close to the litter, keeping the litter box too close to their hangout spots, using the litter box in a noisy area, having no privacy while eliminating, and a dirty litter box. So now, poor little mother, all five of these pet peeves are being violated. Again, if you put your cat glasses on, you'll realize that cats never instinctively poop and pee next to where they eat, drink, and sleep. The smell would attract other animals to their food and shelter. Why do you think they cover their urine and feces? No, they're not being polite. It's instinct. And poor mother is forced to deny instinct as she does her business right next to her food and bed with roving cats and dogs around her. And do cats run and climb in the wild? Duh. Being able to run, chase, and climb is an important aspect of a cat's daily life. Again, it's instinct, and the ability to move is crucial to survive in order to escape predators. It's what they know. It's what they crave. It's who they are. And no matter what, they still maintain those wildcat territorial instincts. Cage life? Once again, easy for the human and clearly inhumane for the cat. I don't even know what it would feel like to be denied an instinctual behavior. Yet, this cat is stripped from all instinctual stimuli. So while this cat cannot communicate these concerns to the human, that certainly doesn't negate the fact that she is living in a highly unnatural environment. How stressful and unhealthy is that? Yet, when I inquire each week as to the status, I'm told that the human just loves this cat, but their home isn't conducive to letting her out. But she's flirting and bonding with the male cat, and yada, yada, yada. Flirting and bonding? I don't think so. The poor creature is most likely scared out of her mind, hiding in her fume-filled cave while the human waits for the cat to suddenly wake up one morning and not be frightened and anxious. Hey, human, I'm ready to come out today and get along with everyone. Ain't gonna happen. So I ask the very obvious question. Didn't the human know prior to accepting this cat that her home didn't have any doors? That she had absolutely no plan as to how she was going to integrate this cat into her existing situation? Did she think? I think not. But then I'm told, well, if the cat was in a shelter, she'd be in a cage. Wow. Well, guess what? She's not in a shelter, so she shouldn't be in a cage. I'm sorry, but a cage is not an option outside of a shelter. And if you think it is, then please do not get a cat. A cat is not a toy. It's not a tchotchke, not a token that says, hey, look at me. I'm a great human. I rescued a cat. A cat is a living creature that is highly instinctual and deserves to be respected on all levels. The human should not be the controller, but rather the accommodator. Here's an excerpt from the Animal Rescue Corps in Washington, D.C. that I think says it all. The author says, the cage is a fundamentally flawed contraption that causes rapid emotional, social, and physical decline of its inhabitants. In my experience, any animal confined to a cage goes through three phases of decline, typically starting with high anxiety, leading to depression, and resulting in psychological turmoil. Putting an animal in a cage is a violation of that creature's innate right to live naturally and without suffering. This type of confinement also forces animals to eat, sleep, and defecate in a space often only a few times the size of their body. This causes health problems and can ultimately lead to death in some species. But the cage itself is not the driving force of this cruelty. It is the humans. As always, it's the humans. Kennels and cages and cat condos, or however you want to describe them, serve a limited purpose and should only be used for specific limited purposes, such as travel, or to isolate an injured or post-surgery animal for protective healing and recovery. Not because your house is too small, or because you don't have doors, or you have dogs, or you're just too human to realize or admit that you don't have a clue of what it's like to be in your cat's position. And to justify it by saying, oh, but the cage is large. The cat is bonding. We love her so much. What is it that you love so much about a caged creature? Left to breathe toxic fumes all day, forced to eat, drink, and poop in the same corner while dogs and a cat circle and sniff and bark. What is it that you love? I think we might have to adjust the definition of love, because can you barely even imagine this little cat's state of mind? Do you think she feels the love? Good God, help her. I actually located this human's phone number and politely called her one Sunday afternoon with the kind offer to take the cat from her and reunite the cat with her babies. The response was a bit cool, as I guess one would be when they feel they are being questioned, but I don't care. A little cat is silently tortured in the name of love? I guess. So I'm not much concerned about the human's feelings. My offer was shut down. Nope, we're keeping her. Well, that's for sure. You're keeping her. You're keeping her from living a normal and healthy life. And so, with this first-hand situation in mind, and from what I read and hear, there are so many situations like this and worse. So that's why I say, please, don't get a cat if you don't have the time, the finances, the space, the environment, or the mental capacity to do everything in your power that is natural and right for that cat. Don't get any animal for that matter if your heart doesn't bleed with compassion and empathy. Don't get a cat if you don't have the ability to actually be that cat. If you cannot feel what it is like to be that creature, if you do not have that ability, please don't get a cat. And then justify that it's better than living in a shelter. Don't you dare try to make yourself feel better or feel important by that weak and pathetic rationalization. I send Reiki healing to this poor little mother cat every day and night as I watch her two offspring thrive and enjoy their life in my home. My heart weeps for her, and I can only hope and pray that this human comes to her senses and allows me to reunite that cat that she loves so much with her two babies. I promise, mother cat will be out of her cage in less than 12 hours and will live a safe and protected life where she can thrive like a cat. Please, keep today's conversation in mind and share this episode with anyone and everyone you know who is contemplating getting a cat. Before you adopt a cat, dig deep into your heart and soul before you make a 20-year commitment to an innocent life. That's right. Ask, what will my life look like in 5, 10, 15, and 20 years from now? Because cats live a long time and they are not disposable if your lifestyle changes. Do you have time to play every day? Do you have the patience? Can you withstand some spills, messes, cat hair, or furniture damage? Will you always have the money to buy proper food and pay for vet bills? Do you have adequate space to allow the cat a life consistent with his or her instincts? Is your physical space safe and ready for a cat? Is everyone in the family on board with the decision? Does anyone have cat allergies? Do you have a plan for integrating your cat with existing pets or children? Do you have the mental and physical ability to care for another life? And if you have unanswered questions, please don't get a cat. What's that? You don't want to be locked in a cage while your human parents are out of town? I don't blame you. Hey human, are you planning a business trip or vacation? Don't leave your cats alone to fend for themselves. That's not polite, and it's not safe. Most boarding locations only offer limited out-of-the-cage time. Wake up, cat. It's time for your allotted hour of playtime. Think of it. How confusing for your cat. Not a cat-friendly, healthy, or happy option. Well, Cats Inn on the Chagrin is a cage-free boutique overnight boarding and or daycare, we call it play care, option for working or traveling cat owners. That's right, no one is ever caged. We don't even have any. At Cats Inn on the Chagrin, our goal is to provide your cat with a truly cat-centric experience and provide you with the peace of mind that your loved one is safe, happy, stimulated, and not locked up and alone. We are located in Chardon, Ohio, and you can find out more, plus view lots of pictures of our spacious accommodations at catsinonthechagrin.com. That's Cats Inn, I-N-N, as a hotel, catsinonthechagrin.com, or call me, Pat Rulo, at 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. I speak cat. You're welcome.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast. where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
I recently had the pleasure to interview Tracy Andraghetti, a USA Today best-selling author of the Frankie Amato Mysteries and the Danger Cove Hair Salon Mysteries. If you love cocktails, color, and crime with an Italian twist, who wouldn't? You'll love her books with delicious titles such as Limoncello Yellow, Prosecco Pink, Amber Amaretto, or A Poison Manicure and Peach Liqueur. You can check out all of her titles at the website TracyAndraghetti.com. Tracy, it's T-R-A-C-I. Andraghetti is A-N-D-R-I-G-H-E-T-T-I. TracyAndraghetti.com. If you love mysteries, you'll love Tracy. That's TracyAndraghetti.com.
Hi there. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the voice of Mrs. Green on the airwaves, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. We love to educate, inspire, and engage people about things like the faceless villain of climate change and lots of other topics that I know will interest you. Our guests will fill you up with hope, possibility, and ways that you can make a difference in your everyday life and that will make a difference for this great planet of ours. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and to become a part of our world.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, back to the show.
This program is all about speaking up, no matter what the topic, and that's why you'll hear me talk about anything and everything, from mandatory vaccines to the negative health effects of cell towers and cell phones, chemtrails to food, and as you just heard today, even to the welfare of cats. My point is that we shouldn't just accept that which is handed to us on a spoon, but rather question, what is it? Is it good for me? Is it good for others? Is it the right thing? And it makes me think about the danger of silence and question why it is that people don't speak up. So I want to share five reasons, as written by Kevin Daum, an Inc. 500 entrepreneur and best-selling author. It's titled, Five Reasons You Should Speak Up, Even When You Think You Shouldn't. The art of communication is not mastered by just knowing what to say and how to say it. A big factor is knowing when to say it. So often, people sit back and say nothing when something really needs to be said. It could be an idea, a suggestion, an observation, a criticism, but for some reason, they don't want to speak up. They may be afraid of hurting another person, looking mean or foolish. Sometimes it seems like staying silent is the wiser choice. But here are five reasons why, despite the risk, standing up and saying your piece is best. Number one, silence is deemed approval. You may think that staying silent keeps you from being involved in any conflict, but quite the opposite. Silence is as much an active form of communication as talking. Anytime you are involved in a situation, people are aware of all the input and lack of it. If you disapprove and don't say anything, it will not make you seem easygoing. If the problem persists and you did nothing, people may consider it as enabling and think the issue is as much your fault as the person who actually caused the problem. Number two, the greater good should be the priority. I like to believe most people are good-hearted by nature, and many stay silent because they don't want to do any harm by offending or criticizing someone. But when a person or a team is headed down a dangerous path, it's selfish to put your own need to be comfortable above the needs of the others. And that includes cats. Worse, by staying silent, you may be harming the very people you hope to help. The worst-case scenario is, if you speak up, someone may disagree. But at least the issue is at the forefront and an active decision can be made. Number three, demonstrate you are invested. Why are you in the conversation in the first place? Someone invited you into the dynamic. And if you truly don't have a stake, then find better use of your time. But if you are there for a reason, you need to show your commitment to the process and the people involved by being active and vocal. Speaking up is an important form of honesty. Demonstrate that you will be truthful with people, that you care about them, and that you give good advice, and you will never lack for trusting friends and followers, if I guess that's your goal. Number 4, you can't assume the obvious is obvious. Your experience and knowledge has value in a given situation. No one else has your unique perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in your brain is worth communicating, but with a little discretion and thought, you should be able to bring value in most situations. You're also not doing yourself any favors by not sharing your expertise. People don't automatically recognize your skills, values, ambitions, and desires when you are quiet. If you wait around for people to notice or read your mind, you will likely end up on many paths that are not of your own choosing. So gather up your confidence and share. And number 5, you may not be alone in your thinking. Others may share your thoughts and opinions, but may also be unwilling to speak up. So by speaking your mind, you encourage them to voice their opinions as well. If everyone holds back, the bus may silently head over a cliff due to group silence. So I leave you with that for today, and I hope that each week you become inspired to speak up. Not necessarily on the topics that I bring up, although I hope I shed some illumination on issues you may not be aware of, but throughout your days, when you see or hear of something that just doesn't seem right, take the time to look into it, study it, and become the voice for informed choice. And so with that, I leave you until next week. Until then, take a moment and head over to my patient safety website called speakupandstayalive.com. Speakupandstayalive.com, and get yourself a copy of the book. It's called Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. It's only $19.95 plus a few dollars for shipping. It will give you the information you need to speak up during every healthcare or hospital encounter. And if you want more of my Speak Up, invite me to speak up to your group, club, your business, church, organization, whatever. If you have people, you know I have lots to share to make your event fun and life-saving. So give me a call, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. And if you love cats as I do, head over to 11catsradio.com, all spelled out, 11catsradio.com, where you'll find interesting and short segments that will empower you as a cat advocate. So much homework until next time, but better busy than bored, right? All right, we're done. Well, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Whether looking to sell your home at top market value or searching for your dream home at a competitive price, the McCaskey team can help. As the top producing real estate team in Geauga County and Northeast Ohio, the McCaskey team knows what it takes to guide you through the home buying and selling process. How do I know this? They sold my mom's home in less than a week, so I have firsthand experience. They are a part of BMAX Traditions, so give my friends, Dan or Terry, the opportunity to help you too. They're located on Chardon Square at 139 Main Street. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. That is 440-773-5542. Or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com.